Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. We are the show that talks about creeps from the past to the present. Today, we're a little bit different in who we're talking about because she's young, and we talk about on the show, people think we just shit on people, and that's all we do. It's not all we do. We have a feeling behind what we're doing. We have a purpose behind what we're doing, and it's calling out bad behavior, creepy behavior. But we do understand that some people can turn it around, you know, can learn from lessons and be an example in a whole new way, which is very possible with this person. But we do have to talk about some shit she's put upon people.
Yes.
Okay. So I want to start with first, if you're new to the show, please follow us on social media. We are at Creep Pod on Twitter because somebody had What a Creep for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We're on Instagram at What a Creep Podcast. We have a basic Facebook page. Feel free to reach out to us there. We got a really nice note this week, by the way. I was really psyched about that. It was someone who was referring to a past episode that we've done about John Kay, and that was really, really cool. We also have a Facebook group. It is a private group. You do have to ask to join. We do have rules of engagement.
Yes. I wanted to make sure that we highlighted that. Please read the rules of engagement. Just, we are trying to keep this a good, safe place for people. So we do not jump in and immediately start name calling and telling people to F off. We haven't, we should mention, we use salty language on the show.
Yes.
So we don't jump into conversations and immediately tell people to fuck off. It's not that kind of group. So if you're looking to pick fights with people, take it to the Joe Rogan page. They love that shit. That's just not what we do in our group. So read the rules of engagement.
Please read the rules of engagement. And for the most part, like 90%, 99% of it is just really good and helpful, awesome people. So just type in What a Creep Podcast Group and you have to ask to join if you don't look like a juggalo or... That's what else have we said? Like, what, if you just don't look like you'd be a nightmare.
If you don't look like you're going to storm the castle.
Right.
We will
on January 6th. Yes. We will totally let you in. We have an email. It's a very basic old-timey email. whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. You can send us comments and suggestions there. We're always looking for suggestions for creeps, but also for non-creeps, because sometimes that's the tough part of the show to figure out. Mm-hmm. We take turns every week presenting the creep, and then the other one is challenged to come up with a non-creep. So in any of those places you want to reach out to us, feel free. We also have stickers. If you'd like some stickers, y'all, please send them along. Send us an email or whatever. We'll drop them in the mail for you. We want to thank everybody that joins our Patreon group. We put out bonus episodes on Patreon. Go to patreon, look up What a Creep Podcast. Thank you guys so much for being a part of that. And Sonia, am I missing anything?
Just the website, whatacreeppodcast.com. You can find everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but we're afraid to ask. And there is a link to our merch shop on there where you can, or you could just go to Threadless and type in What a Creep Podcast. And we have t-shirts and tote bags. And I added some new designs for new masks that say that you're vaxxed, but masked. You know, just, I can vouch the t-shirts are super soft and amazing.
And
I love them.
The masks are comfortable.
They are. They're super comfortable. I ordered a couple more because I'm going to keep wearing them when I'm on public transportation.
And
because
I really
like not getting that flu that I always get every year. I'm here for it.
I'm here for not getting all those colds I used to get and other bullshit that people spread around. Yes, I'm totally here for that. So, Sonia, let's have a talk today about our subject. Do you know who Rachel Hollis is?
I do.
What do you know about her?
I started reading one of her books called Girl, Wash Your Face because my sister had recommended it to me, but I bailed. I didn't even make it halfway through.
Okay.
Because it just wasn't for me.
Right.
A little too much God talk in it. And that's fine if that works for other people. It didn't work for me. So I bailed.
Right.
So Rachel, that's what I know about her.
She is an inspirational guru. She is someone who came from nothing, basically, and then became super famous. Her story is very short. She's a young person. And so we're just going to kind of hit the broad strokes here. But let me just give you the background. A few short years ago, motivational speaker Rachel Hollis was at the top of her game, followed by millions of people on social media. And I do mean millions. Mm-hmm. With her inspirational message of getting everything you want in life and overcoming poverty and sexism with cheery optimism and a little bit of Jesus thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
She was married to the only boyfriend she ever had. She had four adorable kids, and she had an MLM, multi-level marketing, and a speaking business designed to help mostly women to be quote-unquote girl bosses. Mm-hmm. And take accountability in order to overcome shyness, abuse, or even worse, your awful fatness. She
really does
fat shaming.
Yes.
She was a big hit. And every once in a while, something happens in publishing that nobody expected. And then that person is written about everywhere. And she's one of those people. There have been dozens of blogs and YouTube channels and TikTok folks. So many people write about Rachel Hollis and write about multi-level marketing. So I'm just going to kind of give you the overall perspective on her, but I will definitely give you some places if you want to dive deeper that you can go into. But I first want to say that the trigger warnings for this episode, mentions of domestic violence, death by suicide, multi-level marketing. Some people just can't take it.
I love that that's a trigger.
Toxic positivity, and we will get into that. Mm-hmm. And fat shaming. My sources are New York Times, Rachel's wiki page, of course, Wikipedia page, motherly.com, insider.com, Slate, People Magazine. We love People Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
BuzzFeed. Love BuzzFeed. The Cut. I have all three of her books. Girl Wash Your Face, Girl Stop Apologizing, and Didn't See That Coming. And I'm just going to say this before I continue. If any of you out there want to write a book, write a fucking book. If she can do it, and she's not a bad writer. I'm saying actually she's a good writer, but like, don't stop yourself. Okay. Who knows? You could be the big hit too. And I also want to mention a YouTube channel called Savvy, S-A-V-Y. It's only one V. And it's Savvy Writes Books. And she is an independent business owner, small business owner. She's a writer. She also employs a small group of people. But she also loves to talk about MLMs and business books and basically bullshit in the media. And she has really deep, deep dives on her YouTube page. So I included the link in my notes if you want to, like, once again, if you want to do that. And also there's a list of MLM exposers. So let's start just at the very beginning with Rachel. She was born January 9th, 1983, in a town called Weed Patch, California. If you want to understand California, yes, that's a real name.
That's a terrible name. Weed Patch.
Weed Patch. Well, so what was happening in the States in the early part or early to mid part of the 20th century is that there was a big dust bowl in the Midwest, mm-hmm. and there were all these dust storms, and people could not grow crops. So there was this big push to move west, to come to California. And this stuff is written about by John Steinbeck. It's very Grapes of Wrath, that kind of thing. So she's self-described Okies, like these people moved and to move to California to find work.
Mm-hmm. And they moved to Weed Patch?
I'm sure they named it Weed Patch because I'm sure there are a lot of weeds. I'm sure there's lots of places named Patch where they're from, and it seemed a little bit like bringing home with them. But I wouldn't have picked that name.
No.
Doesn't a lot sound of very prosperous to me.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. I actually was born in Empty Lot, California, so I get it.
But she's a self-help guru. She describes herself as very cheerful, but she kind of had a tough beginning. Her father was a Pentecostal minister, very tough, Jesus-y, lots of mentions of the devil, drinking is bad, sex before marriage is bad. It's a very harsh environment. And her dad was a successful man, but had a horrible temper.
He sounds like he's fun at parties.
Oh, ugh. Yeah, she describes, and I don't forget which book it was, but she described about him teaching her to drive a stick shift, and I'm like, oh, no. And it sounds
Some dads are not made for teaching their daughters how to drive.
No.
That's my dad, by the way.
Yeah.
FYI.
But he
sounds good at that.
He sounds really rough. He sounds like he yelled at her mother a lot. He was a big yeller and kind of held the family in fear. And when she was 14, her oldest brother died by suicide. He shot himself, and she heard it, and she found him.
That is awful.
And I don't wish that on anybody. That's got to be the roughest, horrible thing. She was 14 when this happened, and she decided that the best thing she could do is to get the hell out of Weed Patch. Whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. So she studied like crazy, and she graduated from high school and moved her ass to Los Angeles. She was inspired by the movie, the Matt Damon movie, Ben Affleck. What am I thinking of?
Good Will Hunting.
Thank you. 1997's Good Will Hunting. She saw that in a movie theater. She's like 14, 15 years old. She's like, I need to meet Matt Damon. And that was her goal. This girl.
That's a good goal. Sure.
I think it's great. She graduated high school early, went to California, went to L.A., from Weed Patch, no college education at all, no experience working in, you know, in movie studios or anything, and just went on a million, you know, interviews, and then she got a job at Miramax as somebody's assistant. I bet you she's got 1,000 stories.
Yeah.
She's not saying what they are. Yes.
That means she probably got pretty close to meeting Matt Damon.
She describes meeting him at a screening. And she was super excited because he went right up to her. And so she put on a big smile and she's like, hello. He says, hey, where am I supposed to be sitting? And he was talking to her because she was holding a clipboard. Not that she thought she was fascinating. It just like,
right.
Yeah. And she was kind of like, huh. All right. 19 years old, never had a boyfriend. She's a virgin. She's working in a very high pressure company. And one day she lays eyes on this dude. And his name is Dave Hollis. And he is young. He's like 26, 27. She's 18, 19. Mm-hmm. And he's already a big time executive at Disney. Like, he is rising up the ranks. And he's what you'd figure, tall, good looking white guy.
Yeah.
With a lot of confidence. Like, they just know he's a salesperson. Mm-hmm. And he brags a lot about how successful he was selling at Disney. You know, the place that has Star Wars and Marvel and all those, you know.
Well, that's crazy, too, because I know if you do the math, that doesn't seem like a really huge age difference.
No.
But when you're talking about someone who's 19.
Yeah.
And someone who's like 27 or 28.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big difference in life experience.
Very much so. What happens is that in 3 years, they get married. So she's 21. He's like 28, 29. They live in L.A. He helps her start her own events company called Chic Events. Isn't it helpful when your husband has a highfalutin job at Disney that you can get really great clients?
Sure.
I am not saying she doesn't work hard. I will not say that. She, I'm sure, is one of those people up at 4 a.m., never stops. I don't say that. But I think if you're going to start an event business in Los Angeles, your husband being a big executive at Disney would be a pretty big help.
Yeah, she had some connections there.
She had connections.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for her. She used them. She and Dave, they're married, living in L.A., and she also has this dream of being a writer, and I didn't know this about her. In the first few years they were married, she self-published 3 novels. And a cookbook.
Oh.
In addition to everything else. And then she decided that to be a blogger, because, you know, that became a thing. People decided they were bloggers in the late 2000s.
That was me.
And we didn't get as successful as she did, but she had the Chic blog. So she combined her event business with her cookbooks, which she's a new mother now. She's a cute, very adorable woman. She wants to be a lifestyle blogger. That was her whole goal, which is what she became. And then she and her husband, they're very successful, and she's eventually just make she just she creates a company called, it becomes the Hollis Company, and they sell t-shirts and they sell, you know, notebooks that are supposed to, you know, year planners that people have. Yeah. You write your goals on one page and this.
My gosh, I have so many notebooks.
I've had so many books specifically like that, and I always give up. Like somewhere around February, I'm like, this is too much goddamn work. I
am like really into my notebooks right now because right. I'm processing a lot of things. So right. they're all over the house and I'm writing in them all the time. I fully acknowledge about 6 months from now, I will be done with them.
Well, she sells all sorts of things on this blog, on this website. And then she writes a book about inspiration. Now she and her husband go to church every Sunday, very much, about God and anti the devil and, you know, working really hard to achieve your goal. They're both like super like, we work hard and that's why we achieve our goals. They're like that kind. And they have kids and they're working hard. And then one day she publishes a book. Well, first she discovers social media, and this is around 2015. Instagram, Twitter, you know, to promote her blog. And one day she posts a picture of herself on Instagram in March of 2015. And she's wearing a bikini and she has stretch marks around her stomach. And she writes, "These marks prove that I was blessed enough to carry my babies and that flabby tummy means I worked hard to lose what weight I could." And it got 10 million views.
Damn.
So she's like, fucking A, I'm going to just keep posting stuff on Instagram. And eventually she gets a deal with HarperCollins, but they have a Christian division for books, Thomas Nelson. And that first book is called Girl, Wash Your Face. This is just in 2018. It's all about washing your face just means like just do basic things, you know, in order to achieve your goals. If you're feeling sad, if you're feeling blue, if you're feeling like you're falling behind, just do basic things to keep you going. But this whole book is about achieving your dreams. And it's what we call nowadays, they call it toxic positivity. It's sort of like you have no excuse to be not be successful. Right. All you have to do is blank, 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 and blank. And if you listen to me, you follow my books, you follow me on social media, you know, you follow my blog, you will be successful too. And this book sells like crazy. It's super successful. She gets a whole the profile in New York Times and the Washington Post. And that's when she starts giving talks. She's a really good speaker because she has this Pentecostal background, this, you know, Baptist Pentecostal background.
Yeah, okay.
So she's really good at talking to people. And she and her husband are really good at communicating to people. So they decide they're going to move to Austin, Texas and run their business. She started a YouTube channel that had over 160,000 subscribers right away. They had podcasts. They had something going on every day. They had a morning show on their social media. They were constantly putting money and putting it out there themselves. And it's this curated imperfection. So,
Okay.
Like she'll make a big bunch of cupcakes, but a couple of the cupcakes will look janky, and then she'll kind of point them out, like, "What are you gonna do?
I'm just like everyone else. Look, my cupcakes aren't perfect,
relatable, and so's my husband." One of her stories that comes out in "Girl, Wash Your Face," and there's a story in there about she and her husband trying to adopt a child and going through the foster care system in LA, and she's super worried about saying that and. It's problematic. It's a little bit like, well, who gets to be a parent and, you know, who, you know, she talks about herself like she goes to her kids' events and she says, but sometimes I'm wearing like a white dress and high heels and I get all messy and then I have to go to a meeting. And it's like, well, yeah, you don't hang around an elementary school like that, dummy. Like, what are you telling your kid when you're basically like, I'm just dropping by, you know?
Right.
But a woman does. Yeah. A guy could get away with that. I'm being harsh. I mean,
don't wear a white dress.
Don't wear a dress to your fucking school, man. Anyway, there's one story here in particular, which is that she describes her courtship with her husband. And it is basically he was an emotional manipulative twat.
Yes. Okay. This yeah, I didn't make it. This is about where I bailed in the book.
She describes the fact that he basically treated her like a booty call. This is the first man she ever had a relationship with, the first man she ever had sex with. He treated her like a concubine. Like, when I feel like talking to you, I'll talk to you. When I want to go out with you, I'll go out with you. You will always look great. You will always be cheerful. If you're anything less than that, I will neg you. I won't call you back. I'll ignore you. And this goes...
Catch.
Yeah. Oh, he's such a dick. And so this goes on until she gets married at 21. Go ahead.
Can I say... I wanted to say one of the things I remember about the book was at a certain point she was like, I don't like being treated like this. And I refresh my memory if I'm remembering this correctly, but she says she doesn't want to do this anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she like walks away from the relationship, and it was like, that's when he was like, where are you going?
Well, put a pin in that and remind me later.
Okay.
Because where this ends, because he put out a book last year where he refers to this, and you're going to want to punch him in the nads when I tell
it
to you.
Oh, okay. I love it. Okay. I'll pin it.
So she and her husband start doing speaking tours together, and there's this RISE tour, R-I-S-E, and Oprah mentions her, and she gets a documentary on Amazon. Oh,
the Oprah bump.
You get that Oprah bump, y'all.
Yeah.
It's next level. And lots of people like her because they, like I said, they think she's super relatable. She's imperfect in her perfection, that kind of thing, that curated imperfection. And one of those things is about her marriage to her husband, Dave. They decide that they're going to go on a speaking tour together. Whee! And it's going to be all about how to make your marriage better.
What could go wrong?
So, and they say, look, you could have a good marriage, but a good marriage isn't good enough for us. We don't even want a great marriage. We want an exceptional marriage. So that's what we work towards every single day. We are constantly working on our marriage. And that's why our marriage is successful, because we're never satisfied. We're always pushing. We're always trying to do better. We have sexy September, where we have sex every single day in September. I know, like, sex fixes everything. I mean...
I love a themed sex life.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's great.
I guess with four kids. And look, you do you, boo. If that makes you feel great.
If it works.
I'm very sex positive. Like, whatever you want to do, if that makes you guys feel great and connected, awesome. It's just not reasonable for most people. And she talks about, in her next book, Girl, Stop Apologizing, she notices that women, we do this. We apologize a lot when we're talking.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I probably misunderstood, but did you say blah, blah, blah? People kind of put women down for doing that. But apologizing is actually an essential part of communicating. It's important to do. It's important to be good at it and know when to do it properly in order to have a good relationship with other people. But she just takes these ideas and then turns them into, you know, a book. And so she has a chapter called Good Girls Don't Hustle and Building the Foundations for Your Success and Choose One Dream and Then Go All In. And she talks about how planning. I have planning for everything. She says, when I wanted to get a book published, I literally went to Google and wrote everything out. And then you see her, what she wrote, like everything out. I'm like, you mean like anybody can do? She does things that she's like, anybody can do this. Why aren't you doing this? Like, it would solve all your problems.
Mm-hmm. You're just not trying hard enough.
You're not trying hard enough. You're not putting enough time. You could be a better salesperson. You could be a better mother. You could be a better business owner. You could sell more stuff if you just followed these rules. Mm-hmm. That's what's stopping you. And that's bullshit. There's lots of things that are in the way of people. I don't know, racism, poverty. Like, there's all kinds of systemic things that can interfere with your success. But she and her husband are along the lines of, well, we've made it. And she's like, fuck it. I'm from Weed Patch. Are you kidding me? Like, I've had it rough. But look, that's nothing compared to people who have to deal with racism or people or dealing with a disability and trying to succeed and try. You know what I mean?
Correct.
They go on tour and they have to kind of change the language of their tour because they first pitch themselves as marriage experts. Which, and
please, y'all, be careful when you're using like your relationship or your family as a brand.
As the brand. And monetizing them. Like yes. Everything. They don't have any degrees or anything in therapy, in marriage therapy, in family therapy. None of it. It's all just their advice. My sister is a marriage family therapist. It takes a long time to do that for a living, to actually. And so they're putting them. So they had to change their marketing, but they still did it. Like they still went on tour. And these 3-day weekends, they would cost like $1,800. And that doesn't include the hotel or the airfare. Like you have to pay that much to go to Austin to be a part of their thing. She was giving speeches around the country and she would have like Tony Robbins level attendance.
Wow.
Thousands. And they're all buying her books and her workbooks and her t-shirts and her everything. So she's making a shitload of mm-hmm. money. They have a podcast network and it was called 3% Chance. You want to know why it was called 3% Chance?
I'm dying to know.
Because the first time Rachel decided to write a book and self-publish it, her husband told her, you have a 3% chance of being successful with that.
How supportive.
Dick.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, the worm's going to turn because I'm going to turn that into my motivation. You think you're putting me down.
I love that you use that term.
Right?
The worm's going to turn.
The worm's going to turn on you, buddy. And so that says, Girls Stop Apologizing is that book. And they're on the road. And this is 2019. This is also new. That's part of this, too. But she has several podcasts. They all do really well. People, Sonia, would pay anything to see her speak. They were flying all over the country. And especially women were super motivated by her. And something I will give her credit for, her and her husband, is they're very gay positive. They say that they're liberal Christians. Like they believe you should love everybody, that there shouldn't be any kind of hate when it comes to that. So I give her props for that because coming
more
from
those,
her background.
More of that, please.
More of that, yeah. Please. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now in 2019, she's also getting some pushback from people because when you put yourself out there as an expert and you've got all the ideas and they're all different and you've never heard this before, everybody's going to come for you. She was posting things on Instagram, these inspirational messages. She didn't attribute. Sometimes she was taking quotes as for herself from like Eleanor Roosevelt or RuPaul. And RuPaul does not take shit.
I'm sorry. It's just, what are you thinking?
Girl, what are you thinking?
Why are you taking quotes from other people and not giving proper credit? That's a terrible idea.
Well, she has this thing that she has. Her staff is about 60 at this point, which is a lot of people.
Yes.
And they're in Austin and she has young people working on her staff and they're handling her social media. But she would just send them like, hey, this is my new thought, my new post. Put it out there and make it pretty. And so they would do it not knowing mm-hmm. that it was Maya Angelou that they were quoting. Or she would just reword somebody's other idea and make it as her own, which is plagiarizing. Like you can't do that.
No.
There's also a professor who came out with a book in 2016 named Maja Jovanovic. I'm sorry.
Sounds like you got it.
Her book was called "Hey Ladies, Stop Apologizing." She's Canadian. It's a little.
It's a little politer.
It's a little more polite. It's the
emphasis.
Excuse me. Is not
pardon me. I was wondering if you could stop apologizing.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Also in her second book, in Girls Stop Apologizing, she goes back and forth like, I can't live my life until I have the body that I need. And that's a lot of people feel that way. And a lot of women do feel that way. And she's like, that's a dumb limiting belief. But at the same time, she's like, there's no reason for you to be fat. There's no reason you should be overweight. Why are you not drinking half your weight in water every day? and this woman has no degree in nutrition either. She doesn't have, and but it's a lot of like, well, if you want to work out, why don't you get up like I do and get up at 4 a.m. and go work out for an hour and then do this and that. And the other thing, it's a lot of like people using those excuses. Like it's all those people are like, get up at 5 a.m. and you'll get everything done. Fuck you. I like my sleep.
I like to sleep at 5 a.m. And also people just have different schedules.
Yeah.
You know, people are working. They work all day, then they come home and they're taking care of their families and they're fucking tired, man.
Yeah.
You need to get some sleep. Sleep's important too.
Well, this is the whole thing with multi-level marketing is that, and this kind of like toxic positivity is it especially goes for women who like dream of maybe if I worked from home, mm-hmm. I could do everything and I could take care of my family and I could make more money. And it's like, it is very hard to make money working for yourself. It's very, very difficult. It's much easier working for someone else than it is for yourself. And especially if you're selling things and especially if you're using Facebook to sell things, you know, you're going to drive your family crazy. Like these companies always pick people like her to do their speaking engagements, to inspire people to join their company and to sell more. It's just this vicious cycle.
Thanks to the pandemic, a lot of people were working from home and I'm sure they discovered you still can't do everything you want to do when you work from home. I'm working from home now. I'm like, I still can't get all the shit done I want to get done.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's hard. We're all dealing with our stuff. And I like that she can inspire people and that's great, but don't like make her goals your goals. For yourself, I get, you know, we're all different. Like it's okay to like set a realistic goal for yourself. You don't have to live up to Rachel Hollis's goals, basically.
Well, she also sells herself as somebody like, I went through some really terrible things and now I'm fine. Like it doesn't define me. It doesn't hold me back from anything. And I find that's my own thing. I'm calling it this. I don't know if I've said this before, but to me, that's trivializing trauma. When you're pretending that it's just a thing that, you know, something that happened in your life for 30 seconds can't possibly bother you, you know, 10, 20, 30 years later. And that's bullshit. Of course it could. It's very hard to overcome trauma. You probably won't overcome trauma. And I'm talking about, like, I'm a person, I've had a lot of loss in my life in the last few years. I know what I'm talking about. And it makes a big difference. And it's not like I sit around like a sad sack, but some days are harder than others.
Yes.
And all the positive thinking doesn't change it.
No. And, you know, it's you mentioned the toxic positivity. I think that some people are like, I'm talking about myself. I'm like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very positive person and I get really shitty with myself when I'm not being positive.
Right.
And I totally downplay the things that have happened to me because I don't want to bum people out and then I don't know. It's just, it's going to come back.
Yeah.
It's going to get you. So it's okay. If sometimes you want to feel sad, it's okay just to feel sad and to let the people in your life know, I feel sad. I'm having a hard time today.
Yeah.
You know, and tell them what you need because they love you and they want to help you.
Well, in her world, it's the big thing for them is it's choose joy. You could choose to be happy or you could choose to be sad. You could choose to be depressed.
Come on, Margo, just choose joy.
Just choose joy. I mean, it's so childish to think this way.
Yeah.
It's very childish. It's really reductive. It doesn't speak to complexities of humans and how we're different from one another and how we process things differently. But in her world, these books are not terrible. I don't think she's a bad writer at all.
No.
I think she's got a fun, light style to it. She writes a lot about farting and peeing on herself and sharting.
That's okay. Yep. That's a thing. Like, maybe she's trying to make herself relatable.
Relatable again. And that's an important word. We'll get back to that. Okay. So all this is going on. And then we go into 2020. And she and her husband, they have a big conference planned like they always do. And this one's going to be virtual, so there's going to be people from around the world, and they have really big speakers and things like that. Then the pandemic hits, and that's in early March. And like everybody else, their business took a hit. Mm-hmm. Their business was not meant for, they could do online events, but that's not the same
right.
as creating something in a space, you know, like where you at the San Jose Civic Center where you could sell shit on top of it. And it hurt their business. And that, so that's in March. Dave comes out with a book in March. And I'm sure he was planning it for months. So I'm sure he didn't plan it to happen in the pandemic. But Dave Hollis, his book is called Get Out of Your Own Way, A Skeptic's Guide to Growth and Fulfillment.
Boy, get out of your own way.
Right. And I want to talk about Savvy again. She's once again on YouTube, S-A-V-Y. You could find out all of her stuff there. But she highlighted this passage from the book, so I don't have to get the book. He was talking about when he was dating his wife and emotionally abusing her, essentially, and treating her like dog shit. I can also see that something good came out of it. That my being closed off and unavailable for years kept me available long enough for Rachel to grow up, turn 19, and mend this 27-year-old partially broken me.
Fuck that.
Fuck that. Putting all that on a 19-year-old, that you're treating crappily, that she has to now fix you.
We are not rehabs for broken men.
Right.
It's not our job to fix people.
And it's not a man's job to fix you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a shitty thing to say. You know, being a garbage person turned out it was really positive because it left me available when this person came along in my life.
When my teenage girlfriend got over her stuff.
Yeah, when she got over her stuff and she was finally of age. Yay! Like, sorry to all the ladies that I fucked over and treated like shit before her. What a creep.
He's such an asshole. So they split up in June of 2020. And in their statement that was published in People magazine, they do the thing where a lot of people say, we've been best friends for 18 years. And we decided the best way to choose joy is to split. And he's still going to work for my company. And we're going to co-parent together. And we'd really like if you give us some privacy right now. This is people who put everything out in public or said they did.
Which is fine. Like, they are totally fine to ask for their privacy. I don't know the rest of the story. I'm going to venture that they don't keep things private after this.
Well, it's the summer. And middle of summer, July, Rachel realizes that she's in a financial pickle. She's got 60 people on her staff. They haven't been working. They have no events coming up. She doesn't know what she's going to do. So she takes a PPP loan, which was designed to help people with small businesses.
Yeah.
She still starts laying off people.
Which is the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing when you take those loans, but okay.
Yeah. It was either October or November. She laid off most of her staff. In the meantime, because she didn't have anything for them to do, but also, it's just shitty. I mean, it's you know, where are you going to find a job in the middle of a pandemic? Trust me.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the meantime, she decides, okay, what can I do? How can I make money? How can I, you know, capitalize on everything that's happening to me? So she decided as soon as the pandemic hit in 2020 that I'm going to write a book about the pandemic and that'll teach people how to deal with it when the pandemic is over. Not realizing it would be like a year later. Mm-hmm. And the book is called Didn't See That Coming, Putting Your Life Back Together When Your World Falls Apart. It's a similar thing. It's still like, yeah, my marriage broke up and I didn't expect. That's relatable, by the way. Like, there's
100%.
Yeah. She didn't see that coming. And she's trying to give advice to people. It's still the same old toxic positivity of, you know, just thinking about, you know, just mind over matter and just blah. It's like very.
Your marriage fell apart, dude. Girl, just rub some dirt on it and walk it off.
Yeah. Yeah. There was oh, God. So she was talking about like sometimes things in life are an opportunity. This is one of her big things. She and her husband, when they first got married, they bought a house that was in the Hollywood Hills and it was from the 1950s. And it hadn't been touched since the 1950s. So they were like, oh, well, it'll be fun. It'll be kitschy, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, you buy an old property and everything's a mess. The the electrical doesn't work. I mean, all kinds
right.
of crap.
It's old.
And she, after paragraph of like all the money they had to spend and they were really freaking out about going broke, she's like, you know what was the best thing about it? I got to paint. I decided to paint the walls. And that was the opportunity to paint the walls. It takes a weekend to paint walls, okay? Like, it's not a big deal. Like, it's just, but just her, like, that was the one little crumb. And that right. like, made up for everything else. And it's like, no, it's okay if your house is a pain in the ass money pit.
Right. But that's, you could just, that's fine. You don't, and well, the bright side is I got to paint.
Yes. Hmm. Yes. Anyway, it's not a great book. It's, and I feel it's not, don't worry. Don't buy it, you people.
Okay.
Okay. March of 2021. So this is very recently. She is doing the TikTok with all the kids, you know.
I love the TikTok.
And on the TikTok, she's talking, she's going on about what she did in her second book, by the way. Let me just go back a little bit. Is that she admitted that she had a nanny, that she had a house cleaner, that she had, she said, you know, basically, you know, outsource things in your life if you can afford to do it. Fine.
Sure. I'm like, I have someone come in this house once a month and clean my shit. I'm totally fine with that.
Absolutely.
I'm not rich, by the way.
No, like, nor am I. So she's talking about how she has a housekeeper coming over and how glad she is that twice a week she has someone who will come to her home and clean her toilets. How happy that makes her. And someone on TikTok is like, yo, do you want to talk about being unrelatable and, you know, being privileged? And she's like, sis, do you think I want to be... Yeah, she takes words that are from the African-American community, by the way, which one shouldn't do.
Right.
And she says, no, sis, literally everything I do in my life is to live a life that most people can't relate to. Opposite of every message she's been giving
yeah.
for 5 or 6 years. She said, I'm like women like Harriet Tubman, RBG, Marie Curie, Oprah Winfrey, Amelia Earhart, Frida Kahlo, Malala Yousafzai, all unrelatable as fuck. Happy Women's History Month.
She is not insane. Like those people.
That is
at all.
That is batshit. She
you
just
wrote a book called Girl Wash Your Face. You are not Harriet Tubman.
You are not Harriet Tubman. And then people started doubling down like, you can't do that. She eventually apologized and said, I am deeply sorry. First, she blamed it on one of her staff. Like, oh, somebody in my staff wasn't like keeping
that's
me.
Right.
And it's her own also, TikTok. Also, it's her talking.
Her next book will be Girl, Don't Read the Comments.
On April 4th, she released an initial apology saying that she blamed her team for mishandling the situation. Not her talking, by the way.
Right.
Them handling it. But eventually she deleted the video and then she gave a new video and said, I am so deeply sorry for the things that I said in my recent posts and the hurt I have caused in the past few days. By talking about my own success, I diminished the struggles and hard work of many people who work tirelessly every day. I'm glad she did that. What's repulsive to me is that she focuses on the fact that her housekeeper cleans her toilets. Like, she makes the most unappealing task that whole woman's job, basically, when she talks about her.
Yeah, just...
You know, the woman also vacuums and dusts, I'm sure, or helps
yeah,
with laundry.
This is
like,
a person
Jesus.
Who
works hard, like, by the way.
Yeah, but I have someone who comes to my... Like I said, I have someone who comes to the house like once a month and cleans my house. I'm so fucking grateful to this woman.
Yeah, and you pay her.
And I pay her, and I always give her a huge tip. And she does way more than scrub my toilets. Like, right. She's giving me my time back.
Exactly.
And I'm super grateful to her. There's way more to what she's doing than vacuuming.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
She's probably a small business person, too. Like, she probably works for herself. And
exactly.
Yeah. It's super insulting.
It is super insulting. It's like on The Real Housewives where Ramona refers to someone as the help.
Right.
Like, don't do that. Like, these are people who are working.
Right.
And they deserve your respect.
Exactly. And so what's going on now is she and Dave split up. They're getting divorced, or they are divorced by now. So it's May of 2021. She was supposed to have a conference happen in May, decided to put that aside.
Yeah.
She's setting it up for Labor Day, and she hasn't listed, I keep checking her site, she has not listed who her guests are going to be, who her speakers are going to be, or where the topics are going to be, because she says she's going to redo everything from the ground up. So I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I'm hoping, you know, I want her to turn around. I want her, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm not going to piss on her or anything like that. But so hopefully she has. But you'll be happy to hear, Sonia. Dave is doing great.
Oh, good. That was my next question.
He is dating a very hot blonde who is a fitness influencer. Her name's Heidi Powell. She was like in a power couple. She and her husband were on all these shows, these makeover fitness shows. Oh. They got divorced in last year. Dave had her on his show because he was talking about overcoming divorce and single parenting and stuff. And they are in love. And so Dave is, and he's also really into running right now. So he's like running a lot of marathons and he's doing fine.
All right. Well, that's great for him.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I do hope that there is a road to redemption for Rachel Hollis, because like I said, I think there are good messages in some of her stuff. Mm-hmm. And if she can connect with people and help people, and if people have been helped by her stuff, that's awesome.
Right.
You know, that's why we do what we do. That's why we're doing this show. We want to, you know, we want to help people. We want to make the world a little less creepy, you know, and I hope that that works out for her. I really do.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. That's going to be happening Labor Day this year. So,
all right.
Keep her on your horizon. I forgot to mention, by the way, Sonia.
Yes.
We have three new Patreon members, Laura, Tanya, and Diamond. Thank you guys so much for joining our Patreon.
Oh, thank you, ladies.
And we got a new 5-star review in iTunes from Bionic Booty. Thank you.
iTunes names are the best.
That always makes us laugh.
You all have the best names. For our Not a Creep, I decided to pick out some other books that you could read besides Rachel Hollis's books. No offense to Rachel Hollis, or maybe just a little offense. I mainly got these books from a list on Book Riot by Ashley Holstrom, and I could put a link in our show notes for that.
Oh, great.
But I also just threw in a couple other ones that I thought might be similar. So, by the way, I haven't read all of these books. I've just done my research, and they seem to have very good reviews, and I couldn't read anything negative about the people who wrote them. So keep that in mind. I've only read a couple of these. So the first one I found was called Brave Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fail More, and Live Bolder. And it's by Reshama. I'm going to be very careful here. Sajani.
Okay.
And it's the idea of how girls are raised to be like really gentle and polite, and how we grow up being afraid to go outside of our comfort zones and be anything less than perfect. And so it's kind of a girl get out of your own way book, if you will. this person everyone's probably heard of, is it Brené Brown?
Brené Brown.
Yeah. And she has a book called Daring Greatly, how the courage to be vulnerable transforms the way we live, love, parent, and lead. I watched her talk on Netflix, and I really liked it. And I know that I think she's one of those people that, you know, gets the Oprah bump. I don't think you can go wrong with her. Here's another one, Lily Sieg, and it's How to Be a Boss, and it's like BAWSE. A Guide to Conquering Life. And it's just about like being a, you know, a person who is confident and has seen some shit. And it's supposed to be like, it's supposed to be a really witty, like funny book with like tough love advice. How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy by Jenny Odell.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, this one's been on my list for a while because it was recommended to me by my boss. She said I would like it. And when I say my boss, I mean my boss, not my boss, like the one before. Becoming by Michelle Obama.
Yes.
I've actually read this one and put it on the list because I was like, that book is awesome and everybody should read it. Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies by Tara Schuster. And she used to be the vice president at Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, Jordan Peele's like a really big fan of hers. And he called her like she was ahead of her time. And it's about these like, it says it's a brutally honest, often hilarious, hard-won lessons in learning to love and care for yourself.
I like
it. And I really like that title. And then the last one, More Than Enough, Claiming Space for Who You Are, No Matter What They Say. And it's by Elaine Welteroth. Mm-hmm. And she was the former editor of Teen Vogue that brought all the politics.
Oh, yeah.
Into Teen Vogue. So I thought that one, I put it on my list because I think I might be interested in this one. And this description says it's part manifesto, part memoir. And I'm very interested in that one. So that went on my list. Yeah, and I'll put the list in our show notes.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much. That's a very nice positive way to end it.
Yeah, these are all, I'm reading books like this right now. So I'm like, all of these will probably go on my list.
Well, that's our show this week.
By the way, I forgot to say, good job, Margot.
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Sonia.
I'm sorry, I forgot to say that. You did an awesome job. I know you read all those books, and that is above and beyond, in my opinion. Good job.
Well, that's our show this week, everybody. Please be sure to follow us on all the things social media-wise. We love it when you use the Annie Potts GIF. We got one for your suggestions or for creeps and for non-creeps. Once again, our email is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. Please join our Patreon page if you are interested. If you want stickers, please let us know. Just send us an email. We'll ship them to you wherever you are in the world. If you like the sound of our voices, by the way, we also co-host a podcast called Dorking Out. This week, we are dorking out about the movie Wolf, starring Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer. It's hilarious.
We had such a good time watching that one and talking about it. That was such a good suggestion on your part, Margot.
I loved it. So thank you so much. Sonia, where can they find you?
Yes. You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and the TikTok. Where can people find you, Margot?
Where you're talking about your lady who cleans your toilets? I don't want to be relatable.
I am super relatable. I am so relatable.
You could find me at Brooklyn Fit Chick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram. My blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And we'll be back soon. We will be back soon with a new episode.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.